God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Tonight, as we celebrate this day of the eve of the naming and circumcision of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I will admit a lot of other people celebrate this day a little bit differently. Going on in downtown Chicago, there's a Bears game going on, and that you are dedicated to be here to hear God's word instead of seeing the opening kickoff shows the maturity of your faith. No comments about those who aren't here, though. Also, our world celebrates this as the end of the year 2006. And typically, whenever you get to the end of the year, it seems like people are thinking, well, what is the new year going to look like? And there's a little bit of anticipation. Except for we have to ask, well, what is on people's minds for the upcoming year? Is it what our leaders will do in our country? Is it the economy? Is it jobs? Is it our family? Is it possible relocation? Is it various tensions, whether at work or at home? What will the future be for all of us? To be honest with you, I really don't know. The most I know is that I'm here right now. God gives me time one moment at a time. I don't know what the tomorrow will bring. Nor does Scripture say, I will know what tomorrow will bring, except for, I will know what that last day will look like. You see, one of the special nuances of the eve of the name of and circumcision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was, why was he named the way he was named? And what does that name mean? As our text from Luke chapter 2, verse 21 says, at the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived. Our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 picks up, referring to what the angel said, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's exactly what happens. In Jesus' case, his name, in one essence, is also his destiny. Now, typically in today's world, when we talk about naming children, at least in the United States, we don't necessarily name them and give them a particular name for their destiny or their future. But in some parts of the country, including China, where my daughters are from, that is the case. They will pick a name that they hope will, sort of the characteristics of the name will be superimposed upon the person. Here, in our scripture reading, we have that name and that being superimposed upon the person and work of Jesus. That is why God took on flesh and blood. He was born in Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy. He was going to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And in that death, he would be our Savior. And he would save his people, all people, from their sins. Some of us may ask, well, how does this help me for the new year? Whatever problems or concerns you may have for the new year, I will admit, I don't know what the new year will bring. But I do know one thing. Our destiny in Christ is certain. Because we bear that same name, the name of Jesus, that was spoken upon us when the waters of holy baptism were poured upon us in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. We bear that name. All who bear that name and hang on to that faith, trust, and promise in what God's word says, have eternal life. So in the end, I know how it turns out. And it's kind of interesting because in our business world, there are some lines of thought that says, begin with the end in mind and work yourself backwards. Well, for the Christian, the end is perfect. We already know it. It's already been set up. It's been set up because of this baby that was born in Bethlehem, who was then circumcised under the law to fulfill the law for me and for you, so that our destiny is certain. For those who believe and trust in Jesus Christ, they have the gift of eternal life. I know what the end is going to look like. And if I start working backwards, what does it look like? Well, that I really don't know. I just trust God to give me one day at a time. See, we very often, as human beings, we get a little anxious for what the future may be. We have a lot of things to worry about, a lot of things on our plate. And our Lord basically wants to remind us, wait a minute, you know how the end is going to turn out. So why do you worry? Jesus was even trying to explain this while he was here on earth. As he was teaching his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what will 2007 bring? I'm clueless. But I know one thing. I have a Savior who saves me, who delivers me from my sin. A Savior who says, I still love you and care for you. A Savior who says, I'm with you always. A Savior, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. He's going to give us that daily bread. He's going to give us what we need. He's going to supply. And not just for our bare necessities, but he's going to bless us beyond our imagination, with that ultimate blessing being the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But I will admit, my human nature sort of kicks in again. So let me sort of use this as an illustration here. When you go on vacation, how do you plan your trips? Are you the type of person that just throws a bunch of things into the car and then just heads into the car with the family and then just takes off and says, wherever the road leads me, that's fine? I will admit my personality type isn't quite like that. I'm sort of the personality type that has just about every moment and every second planned. And if the plane's a little late, or if the car gets a flat, there has to be quick adjustments of the plan because every single detail is almost perfectly planned. Well, I will admit, we cannot live without some planning and structure. Otherwise, our lives would fall short. We need to have some planning and structure. But we do understand one thing. I can make all the plans I want, but God just gives me one moment at a time. See, I learned this important lesson upon my vicarage, my internship, so to speak. I had a supervising pastor who noticed that I planned out not only my whole entire day, my whole entire week. I knew exactly what I was going to do and how I was going to do it and how much time I had to do it. I remember he came into my office one day and he said, what do you have planned for today? And I started rattling off my to-do list. And I was serving a small parish in rural Iowa. And he said, one of our members just went to the hospital in Omaha. That's an hour and a half drive, sort of southwest of here. Visit the person, hour and a half drive back. Go do it. There went my plans. I was almost devastated, except for then I learned a very important lesson. I can make all the plans that I want, but the Lord is going to watch my steps. And sometimes those plans don't turn out. My life wasn't shattered with that. Actually, it was a great learning experience. So what do you worry about? Whatever it is that you are worrying about, whatever plans are sort of consuming your mind, let's just stop for a moment and think. It's good to have plans for the future, but also to be a little bit flexible. We know that we have the certainty of our final destiny through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He assures us of the perfect travel plans. He's already accomplished it. So when we end the year 2006 and move into the year 2007, we don't know what the future will be, but we do know that Christ is our pathway to eternal life and salvation, and that pathway is complete. We do know how it ends, because of the name that was given to him, and not just his name, but he fulfilled his name. Getting to the concept of the circumcision, Jesus was circumcised to fulfill being part of the law, sort of into that new covenant relationship. Not that Jesus wasn't part of the covenant, he's true God. He is the covenant, so to speak. But he had to fulfill the covenant for us because we are unable to fulfill the covenant. So today we celebrate that Jesus was named Savior and that we have one who has redeemed us so that we don't necessarily have to worry what tomorrow will bring. We know that God does provide wonderful things because when we worry about things, it creates a potential for useless and unproductive living. Because we're worried about something that sometimes we have no control over. Instead, what we need to do is put our faith and trust in a God who delivers us. Who delivers us even from our own sinfulness. Because I will admit, some of the things that I worry about is making mistakes. I don't know if you ever worry about that. I do. But for every mistake I make, I know that my Lord still forgives me. Other people may not be so quick to forgive, but my Lord does forgive me. Not that I should go purposefully, intentionally out there to make mistakes, no. But realize that when they do come, I have a Savior who doesn't reject me, but a Savior who loves me. There's an interesting story about Martin Luther talking about a time in his life when he was under a lot of pressure, when he was overwhelmed by the challenges in dealing with the emperor, trying to work out relationships with the Pope. He had the peasants' rebellion going on, and so forth. In the midst of his greatest anguish of life, the story goes that he would write in Latin, in the dust on the table, "I am baptized." It was his reminder that no matter what the day might bring, tomorrow was always God's gift to him, whether here or eternity. It didn't matter. God was giving the gifts. In our lives, there are many surprises, both positive and some negative. We will be confronted with some tragic, disappointing circumstances. And sometimes we may believe that the best years were actually behind us. And unfortunately, in our lives, it may seem that way. But we cannot always be looking backwards. We have to look to the day and the moment that God gives and realizing it's a gift. Yes, our heart may lament for those younger years of our lives when things seem to be going well. But we can't live in the past. We live in the day, knowing that I am baptized. No matter how much stress is put upon us, no matter what is going on in our lives, we know that we are baptized. We bear this name that we have a Savior who dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We are His children because of that name, heirs of eternal life. Whether it be here or up in heaven above, each day we have is a gift. However, this is New Year's Eve, and we have to remember that by virtue of our baptism, Christians live eternally in the land of beginning again, so to speak. Jesus is alive. He gives us that new beginning. And each day, He gives us another new beginning. This is why as Christians, it's good for us in the morning to remember our baptism, to remember why we were baptized. We put on Christ and we sort of have that new beginning. We know that, yes, we are forgiven. And we can enjoy the gift of the day. We shouldn't be longing for the past. Learn from our mistakes, yes, but realize that nothing in life nor in death can separate us from the love of God, as our epistle reading was reminding us. These are words of a celebration of one who is connected to that little baby born in Bethlehem, that little baby who on the eighth day was circumcised. It also brings another nuance, that baby is true man and true God. Yes, He was called Jesus, the name that the angels gave before He was conceived, so that He would bear our sins to make our destiny certain. And these are the reasons for celebrating this day. Even though our world is looking forward to ending another year and beginning another year, 2007 is just hours away. There are some people downtown Chicago who are hoping that the Bears are going to win the final game of the regular season. Friends may come and visit, share good times, but we know that the only celebration really worth holding on to again and again is not the Bears' victory in the Super Bowl. That may be our little hope, but our final hope is our destiny that's certain through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is why we've come to celebrate. And that's why we've come to hear His word and receive Him who sheds His blood gives of his body through that bread and wine to strengthen our faith, to assure us we are not alone, to remind us that our destiny is certain because we believe and trust in the promises of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if your worries are getting the best of you, remember what Luther did. You might not have dust on your table to write, "I am baptized." The question is whether your life can acquire new dimensions of hope and confidence. The question is whether you will now set out to finish those unfinished things in your life. Whatever it may be that the new year may bring, realize there's one thing that is guaranteed: the gift of eternal life. So we take each day as a gift from God, knowing that He truly does bless us and give us many blessings. We ask the Lord to continue to bless us for the year 2007. Whatever that may be, realize the Lord is with you. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.